Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo.
Oh, no, no, no.
Was that Eric or is that Memorex?
That was Joseph.
Oh, that was Joseph. Eric,
I get enough of it from the song, the actual song itself.
Aha, and the lovely Kathleen. This is a song that was recorded back in the day.
Well, is it This Is the Tokens or These Are the Tokens? It's the group, so it's This Is the Tokens, right?
Right.
That would be great.
This
is
the Tokens. I'm being funny. Of course, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. All of today's songs on Breakthrough Entertainment's Zootopia show are animal themed. Of course, we've heard Crocodile Rock, Peter Rabbit, Looking for a Fox, and now The Lion is Sleeping Tonight.
The Lion. How do you know the
lion? Well, the Lion Sleeps Tonight. How do you know?
Are you lion?
Well, the lion. Well, we all sleep at night, except for
we do. Not
well,
all.
Not
of
the
us.
Nocturnal ones, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll find out a little bit from that from our next guest. But before we get to that, this hour is brought to us by Alexander's All Care Automotive.
You are quite correct. That is exactly
Dave's
what I was
thinking.
Say.
Something totally different.
Alexander's All Care Automotive, great guy, great mechanic, trust, honesty, integrity. That's what you want. I know him personally. Say hi when you go in and visit Alexander's All Care Automotive. Really does almost everything, preventive stuff. If you have problems with your engine, transmission, you name it, he does it. Call him 602-956-3781, 602-956-3781. Tell him I said hi, Alexander's All Care Automotive.
And right now we're going to say hi to Dr. Jennifer Vertelin, animal behaviorist. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Dr. Vertelin.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be talking about this.
Oh, we are too. So I understand you saw the movie last night?
I did. I went and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Did you find it to be true to life, realistic?
some of them actually, for some of the characters that they had in the movie, they were spot on for their behaviors and kind of their lifestyles. And then others, they took a few liberties, you know.
Well, you know, my favorite scene has to be the sloth scene in the DMV.
Yes. That is mine, too. That is totally hilarious.
Don't tell me he's employed there.
Yeah, he is. Well, they're all sloths. And, you know, just everything that the sloth says, I mean, it's answering very, 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 very slowly. And then they tell him a joke and, you know. Oh, do you remember that joke, Dr. Vertelin? It was something about a camel. What do you call a three-humped?
Oh, yeah. What do you call a three-humped camel?
Let's see.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you call a three-humped camel?
A Volkswagen.
Go for it, Dr. Vertelin.
Pregnant.
Good one.
Yes.
And if you hear some howling in the background, I have to apologize. One of my animals apparently wants to be on the show. So
which
hopefully
animal?
She'll calm down. It's a cat I have. Her name's Midnight, and she likes to make her presence known. So.
Oh, one of my cat's name is Midnight. So, you know.
Okay, there you go.
Really?
Yes. Let me guess.
You're next.
Let me guess. Well, the other cat's you're next, but let me guess. It's a black cat, right?
Yes, of course. I mean, so creative. But, you know, going back to the sloth, that was my favorite scene. And actually, you know, sloths, their top speed, unless there's a predator threatening their baby, is about 15 feet per minute.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's, you know, and so it's amazing all the different animals in the movie. Just tell us a little bit, what is an animal behaviorist?
Okay, so I can just tell you what I do. A lot of animal behaviors do different things. I study wild animals. Mm-hmm. So I basically, you know, it's born out of curiosity. Why are they doing what they're doing? And I want to answer those questions. And the way that I have studied animals is I go and I sit in their habitat and watch them for hours on end and, you know, take notes and do experiments by, you know, changing food or collecting some DNA and looking at who's related to who and who's been mating with who.
Is that frowned upon, though?
Yeah. That they're mating? No. It's usually a good thing. And I might have questions like, okay, why are they living in groups? And trying to figure out why some animals are social and some are not. Is sometimes an important question. And so that's what I do, is try to figure out what we're seeing about how they're behaving and why. And other people focus on, like, you know, dog behavior or cat behavior and really try to help people with their pets. And, you know, they may be trained in animal behavior, but, you know, I have a background in ecology and evolution, so I'm trying to answer some bigger questions.
So you've worked with a very wide array of animals, right?
Yes, I've studied prairie dogs. I've studied personality in mouse lemurs. I've done some work on sea turtles. I've studied capuchin monkeys.
And do you go out of the country for this, or do you go to zoos? Where do you see these animals?
It depends, right? So for the prairie dogs, I actually did all my work in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Oh.
And yeah, a great place. I love Arizona, so happy to be on the air there. And for the sea turtles, that was just really a in-country thing. For mouse lemurs, that was a captive study that I've done at Duke Lemur Center here in North Carolina. And for the capuchin monkeys, that was brown capuchin monkeys in Iguazu Falls, Argentina, which is a fantastic place, I just have to say, to have a field site. So I've been fortunate to be able to go to a lot of different places to do this work.
Well, let me ask you this. What is some of the more interesting, bizarre, or different behaviors you've seen ever in what type animal would that be?
Well, you know, I have a lot of experience with prairie dogs, and I would say one of the really interesting things, you know, we tend to think maybe animals aren't deceptive or they don't lie, or that lying's a moral thing, but animals are big-time liars.
Wow.
And they lie for all kinds of reasons. So in the case that I saw, which was pretty funny, I had two prairie dogs. One was Mr. T, and one was Antonio, and I named him Antonio because he was a really handsome prairie dog, and he reminded me of Antonio Banderas. So they were in this, like, sort of battle over space, which a lot of animals and people get into conflicts over. And really, Antonio was losing. He was about to get a pounding by Mr. T. And what he did is he gave an alarm call for a coyote. And basically, that stopped Mr. T in his tracks and looked around looking to see where's the coyote. And this gave Antonio just enough time to make it into his hole. And I thought that was hilarious and pretty darn clever. And animals do this a lot. They cry wolf, basically. But they can't do it all the time, you know.
Wow.
Otherwise,
wow.
Just like the human moral story, you know, story. Yeah, Aesop's fable, then nobody believes you anymore. Yeah. Same thing.
That is amazing. Now, how about monogamy? Are there certain animals that practice that and they just...
Yes.
What type of animals are those?
Well, some of the ones you wouldn't expect, right? There's a skink, that, which is like a reptile, that is monogamous and can have a relationship for up to 20 years. Black vultures are monogamous. Actually, red wolves, like our very fantastic Nick Wilde, red fox. The wolves and the foxes are typically monogamous and will mate for life. What else? Let's see. Unusual animals. Everybody thinks swans are, but actually about a third of swans are cheaters. So we should maybe put black vultures on Valentine's Day cards next year instead of swans.
So when you study this, is there anything that you learn about animals that are monogamous that can be used to teach humans?
Well, I think so. So there's a couple of things. What's really interesting is for the lifelong sort of partnerships that we see in like albatross or black vultures or prairie voles or wolves, what you see is a lot of good touching, a lot of happy kind of positive interactions. You don't see a lot of bickering and disputes. When you do have bickering and disputes, that's usually a sign the partnership's going to end.
So maybe is that something that we can learn from the animals then?
I think so, because, you know, they all have rituals, but they have, you know, we have rituals too, but we have like once a year rituals, like it's our anniversary, let's do something. But like something like a French angelfish, which is also monogamous and can live together for up to 10 years with a partner, every time they see each other, they twirl around each other and start like basically dancing. So what would happen if every day we came home, we twirled around our partner, just thrilled to see them?
I'd be taking a lot more vitamins.
Right. And this is a part of what animals do. Every time they come back together after they've been separated, they have a ritual. If you're a gibbon, which is a primate that some people might be familiar with at the zoos, they have the pouch and they sing. The pairs, they sing every morning. So what if you woke up every day and you turned to your partner and you just started serenading them? You know, it might make for a little bit more fun than some of the stuff that goes on in our relationship.
That's very true. And if anyone is just now joining us, we are speaking with animal behavioralist Dr. Jennifer Vertelin. Now, I'll get to the question about predator versus prey in just a second, okay. But I think that, Eric, you had a question?
I do. You mentioned that you studied the capuchin, capuchin monkeys?
Capuchin or capuchin, sure. Tomato, tomato. It doesn't matter.
I was looking on the internet and I noticed that lots of people have them as pets. Is that a good idea?
No. Yeah, no. So I take a pretty firm stance on wild animals being pets. And, you know, I think that this might lead into some of the other questions, you know, in terms of behavior. But really, you know, animals just in general have a really special way. Each species has their own way of solving conflict. So even if you raise a capuchin monkey, it's still a capuchin monkey and it plays by capuchin monkey rules. And
I mean, I see these people, they've got dresses on these capuchin monkeys, and it's like,
well, I put a bow on Frozen, my pet duck. I mean,
okay,
you know, so that's okay.
Yeah, but you know, there's a big difference between a duck and a capuchin monkey.
True.
And you know, ducks imprint. So they, right, we know this, like ducks, geese, chickens. If you have them as chicks, they will stick to you like glue and follow you everywhere. And you are just the moon and the stars to them.
Apparently Justin Bieber has a capuchin monkey as a pet.
Yeah. Again, having primates and any wild animal really is not a good idea as a pet. You can't undo what they are. They are what they are. And I think, you know, having more respect for them as individuals and the diversity that we see in their behaviors. And capuchins are social animals. They live in big groups. They have dominant individuals. They fight a lot. So they're not, you know, kind of really passive, you know, sweet animals. They can't, you know, some people have them as helpers for handicapped people or special needs people. They have helper capuchin monkeys like we do have with golden retrievers, but it's very short-lived, and the temperament of individuals also varies. So there's a lot of variation in personalities. We see this in our dogs and our cats, and it's true for other animals too.
So now we only got about another minute or two with you.
Okay.
And we'll have to have you on again soon because there's so much information that we haven't gone over. But in terms of Zootopia, as well-intentioned as the movie's theme is, it sounds like what you're saying is a predator is a predator and a prey is a prey. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, I think we have to respect the lifestyles and natures of animals, and they all have something to offer just like we do as individuals, right? So can you get a prey to hang around a predator? Not unless that prey has no experience with a predator.
Right.
You know, so I think you do see some unusual friendships that form, and we've all seen those YouTube videos or photographs. But for the most part, I think the message of the movie and what I love to share about people and animals is there's so much diversity and we all have something to contribute. You know, the fact that predators are the way they are is important. And the fact that prey are the way they are is also important. And, you know, foxes aren't all sly and sheep aren't stupid and yaks don't smell, but sloths are actually very slow.
Well, yaks are nudists, though, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Well, Dr. Jennifer Vertelin, thank you again for so much for joining us on today's show. Where can our listeners find out more information about you?
Well, they can check me out on my website at www.jennifervertelin.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Dave Vertelin. And you can check out my Facebook page, Wild Connections.
Wild connection. Well, that's wonderful. Again, thank you so much for joining us and helping us celebrate the release of Zootopia. We'll definitely have you on again soon. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thank you.
And, of course, this song is about another predator, Eye of the Tiger. Survivor, bring us into our break. I feel like boxing right now.
You do?
Yeah.
Like what type of boxing?
I don't want to lose my grip, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He's starting to feel like Creed right now.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
oh, I just want to keep them alive. It's the Eye of the Tiger.
And that is Joseph J singing once again with an audience of one. Greg driving and probably can't believe it, but this is Breakthrough Entertainment, 1480 AM.